So I thank you all very much for allowing me to come before you as a representative of Srila Prabhupada. And I thank my god sister Narayani Maharaj for practically insisting that I do this. And I pray for all of your blessings that somehow or other, together, we may discover more and more of the purpose of Bhagavatam, of the purpose of Prabhupada's mission, and the purpose of us being together as a spiritual family. So we're going to be reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of the personality of Godhead, Canto 9, Chapter 6, The Downfall of Sobari Muni. And I have been assigned text 5 through 7. So I'll read 5 and 6, and then we'll do 7 together. Te shambhu starabhavan aryarvate nirippa nirippa panchavimshatihi paschaccha trayamadye pare anyata. Of the 100 years, of the 100 sons, 25 became kings in the western side of Aryavata, a place between the Himalaya and Vidya mountains. Another 25 sons became kings in the east of Aryavata, and the three principal sons became kings in the middle. The other sons became kings in various other places. Text 6. Sa ekadastaka shade ikvakuhu sutam adishat mam sam aniyatam medyam vikushe kata majiram. During the months of January, February, and March, oblations offered to the forefathers are called astaka shraddha. The shraddha ceremony is held during the dark fortnight of the month. When Maharaj Ikshvaku was performing his oblations in this ceremony, he ordered his son Vikuksi to go immediately to the forest to bring some pure flesh. So now we're going to do text 7 together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 7. Tateti sa vanam gatva migan hatva griyahanan santo babuksito viraha sisam chadad apasmati. So we'll do line by line. Tateti savanam gatva mingan hatva kriyahanan shanto babuksito viraha shisham chadad apasmitra tata. According to the direction iti, thus saha vikukshi vanam, to the forest, gatwa, going, mrigan, animals, hatwa, killing, kriyah arhanan, suitable for offering to the yajna in the shraddha ceremony. Shantaha, when he was fatigued, babukshitaha, and hungry, viraha, the hero, shasham, a rabbit, cha, also, adat, he ate, Aparasmati. Forgetting that the flesh was meant for offering in the Shraddha. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Swami Prabhupada. Thereafter, Ikshvaku's son, Vikuksi, went to the forest and killed many animals suitable for being offered as oblations. But when fatigued and hungry, he became forgetful and ate a rabbit he had killed. Translation, please repeat. Thereafter, Ikshvaku's son, Vikuksi, went to the forest and killed many animals suitable for being offered as oblations. But when fatigued and hungry, he became forgetful and ate a rabbit he had killed. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Swami Prabhupada. It is evident that Kshatriyas killed animals in the forest because the flesh of the animals was suitable to be offered at a particular type of yajna. Offering oblations to the forefathers in the ceremony known as Shraddha is also a kind of yajna. In this yajna, flesh obtained from the forest by hunting could be offered. However, in the present age, Kali Yuga, this kind of offering is forbidden. Quoting from the Brahma Vaivarta Puran, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ashvamedham Gavalamba Sanyasam Palapaitrikam Devarena Sutopatim Kalopancha Vivarjaye. In this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden: the offering of a horse in sacrifice, the offering of a cow in sacrifice, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offering of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. The word palapaitrikam refers to an offering of flesh in oblations to forefathers. Formerly, such an offering was allowed, but in this age, it is forbidden. In this age, Kali Yuga, everyone is expert in hunting animals, but most of the people are Shudras, not Kshatriyas. According to Vedic injunctions, however, only Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt, whereas Shudras are allowed to eat flesh after offering goats or other insignificant animals before the deity of goddess Kali or similar demigods. On the whole, meat eating is not completely forbidden. A particular class of men is allowed to eat meat according to various circumstances and injunctions. As far as eating beef is concerned, however, it is strictly prohibited to everyone. Thus, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna personally speaks of goraksha, cow protection. Meat eaters, according to their different positions and the directions of the Shastra, are allowed to eat flesh, but never the flesh of cows. Cows must be given all protection. Om Anjana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Anmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Garangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhani Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakopatrubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi, Sri Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, we can understand from this purport that in previous ages, a lot of things were done that we're not allowed to do in this age. For one thing, people were a lot more saintly. There was a lot more character. There was a lot more integrity. There was a lot more truthfulness. There was a lot more compassion. And so things that were done then are not allowed to be done now, because we've lost some of those sentiments of compassion, of truthfulness, of integrity, of understanding what is really the truth, of understanding how to apply the truth. You know, there's knowledge, jnana, and then there's the application of knowledge, vijnana. And so when Srila Prabhupada came, he did something very miraculous. He took people, said, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, in Kali Yuga, we're all Shudras pretty much, and he gave us this high philosophy so that we can learn again how to love God, so that we can learn again how to be a part of Krishna's family, something that we've been hankering for thousands of lifetimes, 8,400,000 species. We've been through 900,000 aquatic. We went through 2 million trees and plants and herbs. We went through 1,100,000 insect reptiles. We went through 1 million birds. We went through 3 million beasts. All of us have made that journey. And then 400,000 human beings, and out of those, very few are civilized, especially in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada did a miracle. He took uncivilized people and gave us a philosophy so that we can first be civilized and then prepare to enter back into Krishna's family. And so we have a responsibility to understand what that really means and to apply it. In the ultimate issue, this is all going to be actually an individual journey. The decisions and choices we make about God, we're going to have to face God with them for ourselves. But collectively, we are supposed to be a sangha. We are supposed to support one another and help one another. Prabhupada said, our Krishna is a great family man. And we have to practice how to be a part of Krishna's family. So in this age, five acts are forbidden. Don't have horse sacrifices. Don't have cow sacrifices. Don't accept sannyas as a rule. But again, because Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya's Sanyapati General, he kind of could do things that were unusual, and he did. And he took a risk. Prabhupada said, I have taken a risk to give this Krishna consciousness to all of you. Don't allow your wife to be impregnated by your brother. This is no longer a process that is sanctioned in this age. And so all of these things are forbidden. But I really wanted to focus on, I was praying very hard to Srila Prabhupada about what to share. And it came to me to focus on this idea of protection. And in our scriptures, the idea of protection is very, very, very emphasized. In fact, it is said that Lord Krishna said that defenseless living beings are his body. And there's a verse in the Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text 10, that reads, the Brahmins, the cows, and the defenseless creatures are my own body. Those whose faculty of judgment has been impaired by their own sin, look upon these as distinct from me. So people who have impaired judgment see cows and women and brahmanas and children and old people as distinct from God. But Krishna said those people who think like that are just like furious serpents and angrily torn apart by the bills of the vulture-like messengers of Yamaraj, the superintendent of sinful persons. And here's an excerpt from Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada said, those who are helpless must be taken care of by their respective guardians. Otherwise, the guardians will be subjected to the punishment of Yamaraj, who is appointed by the Lord to supervise the activities of sinful living entities. Yamaraj's assistants, the Yamadutas, are compared to vultures, and those who do not execute their guardianship duties are compared to serpents, and vultures deal very seriously with serpents. And similarly, the messengers of Yamaraj will deal very seriously with neglectful guardians. Very important point for us to understand. Over and over in our scriptures, the Lord said five beings should be appreciated, valued, protected, honored, and lovingly cared for. Here's another quote from Bhagavatam. In the glorious days, or before the advent of Kali, the Brahmins, the cows, the women, the children, and old men were properly given protection. It is to be understood that protection of these five is the real wealth of civilized people. Their care is extremely critical to the well-being of society. So I was looking at that. You know, we look around in our world and it's just an awful, you know, you don't pay attention to news, but it's out there. Death and murder and killing and rape and this and that. But Prabhupada says that if these five creatures, these five parts of Krishna's body are properly protected, then the world would have a good hope. The world would be a better place. So we have to look at ourselves as Vaishnava and ask ourselves, what are we doing to protect these five creatures that Krishna said we should protect? Sometimes we can always look at the outside world and we can say, oh, they're killing the cow and they're slaughtering the cow and they're not taking care of the cow. But the question for us as Vaishnavas is, how are we fulfilling our duty to protect these five creatures? So actually, we can trace most of the world's suffering to the fact that these five categories of living beings are not being protected, they're being neglected, they're being abused. And one thing is sad, that's even happening in religious communities. The communities that should reflect the love and kindness and mercy of God are neglecting the women, the children, the Brahmins, the old people. This is contrary to the very nature of the core of our scripture. So we have to examine, what does protection mean? Because a lot of times people get confused about that. You know, does protection mean putting in, like in the zoo, they have the animals in the cage? Is that protection? They're in a cage. They get food. Yeah, that's not protection. Prabhupada said protection means fulfilling all of the needs, providing for safety, providing for shelter, providing for comfort. And I was thinking about, why don't we feel more of an urgency, even myself, to protect? And, you know, when you study this very scientifically, we protect that which we think is valuable, right? You know, people protect their money. They protect their inheritance. If you think something is valuable, you'll protect it. But here, our scriptures are telling us what is the most valuable: the cows, the women, the children, the Brahmins, the old people, and how are we protecting them? So I went down a list, and I said, let's talk about what is the value of each one of these so that we can have an understanding. Maybe that would help us appreciate. For example, why is a Brahmin valuable? And I'd like some answers from the audience, if you don't mind. Why, Prabhu?
Brahmana means closest to God. Awaken love for God.
Okay.
Brahmana means closest to God.
Brahmins are valuable, he's saying, because they're closest to God, they awaken love for God. And we can understand in our scriptures that the Brahmins have six duties: Putan, Patan, Yajan, Yajan, Dana, Pratigraha. So a Brahmin is supposed to study the scriptures and teach others the scriptures. Because he's supposed to worship God, worship Krishna, and teach others how to worship Krishna. She or he who is acting in this brahminical capacity is supposed to accept charity and give charity. And so if they're allowed to do those duties without having to worry about how they're going to eat, how they're going to sleep, how they're going to travel, then they can, you know, have a little more integrity about their service and be focused on it. So because they are servants delivering Krishna's message, and they're Brahmins who do material knowledge and teaching as well, but that's also part of what's necessary in the material world. So Brahmins are the head of the human body, and they give direction for healthy, progressive growth. They should be examples of truthfulness and cleanliness and mercy and compassion and nonviolence. And so the Lord wanted Brahmins to be able to focus on taking care of their duties. And so that's why he said, take care of the Brahmins, so they don't have to worry about the others. So people have accepted the role of Brahmin should not be cheaters, because it's such a special position on behalf of the Lord. The second one, why are elders to be valued? What's good about an old person? Anybody? Mata? Exactly. Old people have wisdom and experience that they will share with us. They pass along social and spiritual customs and traditions that are good for our society. They, as she was saying, share the knowledge based on their experience and wisdom. If they're not protected, if older people are not respected and honored, they paid some dues for the most part, they've made sacrifices, then we lose some valuable wisdom. And also, we make some serious offenses. In fact, Krishna enjoins us in Bhagavad Gita that one of the austerities of the body is worship of superiors like your mother and your father. So Krishna is telling us how important it is that we honor our elders. Number three, what about cows? Why are cows valuable? Why are they important?
Milk.
Cows give milk that generate fine brain tissue that help human beings intelligently understand Krishna, our purpose in life, and give us the energy how to fulfill that purpose. Cows are gentle, they're peaceful creatures, and products from cows are used in religious ceremonies and sacrifices. Scientists have found that the dung of cows has more valuable antiseptic in it than many of the commercial products that are just created for that. Cows give us fertilizer, right? And it's valued for its property, its ability to improve the soil so we can grow food, nice quality, wholesome food, and offer it to Krishna. The urine is used in medicine. The bulls, what do? They carry heavy loads, and they're very ecologically welcome because they don't waste energy. So cows are actually the foundation for brahminical or spiritual culture. And without them, we would not have brahminical culture. But because cows are peaceful, and they are gentle, and they don't fight, they're not aggressive, then we have to take care of them. We have to look after them. They're easily exploited. In fact, we see so many slaughterhouses and painful things in our world because of lack of cow protection. And we have to be able to identify, for everything there's a cause and an effect. What are the causes of our suffering as human beings? We can trace these sufferings to disobedience to God's instructions that we provide protection to women, cows, children, Brahmin, and old people. Okay. Children. Why are children important? Children are our future. There's a song we used to sing. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them show the way. Give them all the peace that they have inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we all should be. So when children are protected, society is happy. But what do we see in the world now? Children are exploited, they're neglected, they're abused, they're not counted as valuable. This is all against what Krishna told us to do. Children learn what they live. If we show children kindness, if we show them care, if we show them good example, if we keep them from harm, if we educate them with love, if we let them have fun in Krishna consciousness. I was reading the other day where Lord Chaitanya was saying, Krishna is fun. You know, and unfortunately, some of our children, especially in the beginning, they didn't grow up thinking Krishna was fun. They thought it was a force, and they thought it was something terrible and bad. And that's, the onus is on us as adults to show children the happy, loving, peaceful life of Krishna consciousness. Because that's really what it is. The first Gurukula was opened in Dallas, Texas in 1972. And I happened to be there. That's the year I got initiated. That's the year that Prabhupada was giving instruction to some teachers. And my mother at the time, Bhumata Devi Dasi Kijai, she pushed me into a room where Prabhupada was giving instruction to the teachers because she said, Krishna Nandini, I was 20 years old. You've always wanted to be a teacher. You go in there. And so I, you know, went in, and I don't remember much of what Prabhupada said, but I remember two things. Prabhupada said the most important thing that children need to, no, he said the most important thing needed to teach children is to love them. That's what Prabhupada said. I heard that with my own ears, to love them. And so we had people over our children who didn't love our children. They misused our children. And so some of the children don't want to have anything to do with Krishna consciousness because of that. But that wasn't what Prabhupada was about. Prabhupada was about love. Prabhupada was strict, he was firm, but he was loving and kind and gentle. And he dealt with desha kala patra, time, place, and circumstance. What worked in one place didn't necessarily work in another place, and Prabhupada was able to adjust that. And I venture to say that we owe it to Srila Prabhupada to show the children love, to be kind to children, to help them have a fun experience in Krishna consciousness. Also, the other thing I remember Prabhupada said was, show the children the sticks, but do not hit them with sticks. And some of our children were hit with sticks. So we went against what Prabhupada said. So why do children need to be protected? Because they're innocent. Generally, they cannot distinguish what's good, what's bad. You know, who's my friend, who's not. They accept everybody. Does that mean children are nonsense? No. That means that they're in a very vulnerable potential state of growth that we need to nurture and to honor. Because we were all children. Who wasn't a child in here? And some of us have really good experiences with our parents and our teachers growing up. And that those good experiences help us to be better people. Because our parents loved us and they cared for us. They may have chastised us, but it was with love. And so when we grow up, what kind of people are we going to be? We're going to be caring. We're going to be loving. We may be firm, but that'll be there. Okay? So until children grow intellectually and physically and spiritually, they can be exploited and enticed in bad habits. So our protection of children means to cover them from that. Okay, women. Probably the last one, probably the happiest one. But why are women valuable? Don't everybody raise your hand at one time. Mata?
Because they keep the family unit together.
Because they keep the family unit together. Any other things? Say again?
Even in the Bhagavad Gita.
Even in the Bhagavad Gita.
It's an
Right. If the ladies are not protected, we'll have Varna Sankar. We'll have unwanted population. You know, we'll have criminals and thieves and liars and cheaters. We'll have people who are abusive. So women are valuable because they nurture. They have a loving, gentle nature in general. That doesn't mean they're not intelligent. Because the ultimate understanding that we as Vaishnavas, that Prabhupada asked us to have, is that we're not the body. And so to get hung up, as many of us have done, on the body, is a great disservice to our spiritual master. So we have to... Prabhupada, Giriraj Swami one time was asked, Prabhupada asked him, he said, Giriraj, will this movement go on after I'm gone? You know, Mata. And Giriraj Swami said, oh yes, Prabhupada, because we'll be chanting 16 rounds, we'll be doing deity worship. And Prabhupada said, yes, yes, that's good. But he said, intelligence. Intelligence. What is intelligence? How to properly use, discriminate. Do this, not that. Use this, not that. Use this at this time, but not at that time. And that intelligence comes when one seriously and sincerely surrenders to their guru and becomes a humble servant to other devotees. That's how you get intelligence. You surrender to your guru and you serve the Vaishnavas without distinction. And Krishna will give you intelligence, what to do, what not to do. So, women generally have a trusting mentality. You know, and that's a good thing a lot of times. That helps us to surrender to quicker, a lot more than the souls in men's bodies. You know, see the example of the Brahmins' wives and so many examples. Because women have that nature to trust. And when properly directed, it can be to trust God. And if those who are saying that they represent God act in such a way that the ladies can see that they are trustworthy, then those can direct the ladies to God. And you'll have awesome energy. Prabhupada said women are also the power of inspiration to a man. You know, in our movement, we always talk about Mayavadis and impersonalists, but a lot of times we act very impersonal. And I think it's because sometimes we get confused with familiarity and kindness. Kindness is a virtue of personalism. Familiarity may be materialistic. But a devotee becomes what? Kind, gentle, thoughtful. A devotee becomes happy to see other devotees. So I think that we in the Hare Krishna movement are in a position to show the world more than anybody how to be happy. Because when we properly protect these five persons, when we have happy women, when we have happy children, when we have happy Brahmins, when we have happy old people, when we have happy cows, we are going to be happy. And that is what Prabhupada wanted for us, to be happy. So we have to use our intelligence how to do that, how to figure it out. You know, to understand what is protection. I was looking up the word protection because I wanted to make sure, Krishna Nandini, are you really understanding? It means to make someone safe, right? It means to cushion, right? To defend. Lord Rama fought a demon and all kind of things to defend his wife. And sometimes... Radha Swami said one time, and this is kind of funny too, sometimes people want women to be Sita, but they're not willing to be Rama. So we have this idea of expectation so much of the other person, but we're not willing to personally be that example ourselves. So protection means giving shelter to, allowing the women, the children, the Brahmins, the old people to live out their full potential, allowing, protecting them from harm. Don't let the demons and the rascals get to them. Honoring, protection means honor, you know. And so these are things that we need to understand how to do. There's a story in the Bhagavatam where Kardama Muni protected his wife, Devahuti, by giving her everything that she needed. All facilities, beyond compare. That was protection. So we need to be able to understand that and appreciate that in the light that Prabhupada wanted us to. And I was looking up, Prabhupada, he said, I've given the ideas, now you have to give the shape. He said, 50% I've done, 50% you must do. And I always ask myself, Krishna Nandini, what part of that 50% are you doing? Everybody should ask themselves, when you leave this class today, don't just let it be an ordinary class. You can even be a little upset with me because of something I said, but think about, what are you doing as a person, as a devotee, as a follower of Prabhupada, to protect women? What are you doing to protect Brahmins? What are you doing to protect older people? Everybody should ask themselves that question. What are you doing to protect children? Unfortunately, even in our movement, there's still abuse going on. Prabhupada would be crying buckets of tears. I don't know who saw that recent interview with Kishori, one of Prabhupada's first devotees, and she was telling Prabhupada the story of some of the painful things that had happened to her son in Gurukula, and Prabhupada's heart just broke. And he closed the school down, actually. So Prabhupada wants us to use our intelligence, to use our scriptures, to use our sangha to figure this out. How do we have happy women in our movement? How do we have happy children? This is, Krishna consciousness is not theoretical. It becomes alive in the heart. Becoming a pure devotee is no small thing. But you become transformed. You care about people, everybody, and not just devotees. You know, I'm in here looking at the monkeys when I first come to Vrindavan, and I am, frankly speaking, I was a little afraid of the monkeys because they were a lot more than when I was here before, and they were a little more energetic. But then I had to think, these monkeys are residents of Vrindavan. They're Vrajabasis. They need to have a place. They need to have food. They deserve to be here better than me. I don't live here. I came to, you know. And so the Lord has let me look at the monkeys differently, and I am praying for these monkeys because some of them are really hungry in Vrindavan. And I always think of Vrindavan as a place, I don't know, you all correct me, where Srimati Radharani is queen. And in Srimati's place, nobody is unhappy. In Radharani's place, everybody is loved and cared for. So that's our responsibility to Prabhupada and to each other. And we have to figure it out. And I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I'm saying we can beg Lord Balaram, Radha Shamasundar, for the answers. I'm saying we owe it to our Prabhupada, who gave everything to show us how to be happy in Krishna consciousness. And then, you know, some people are sad in Krishna consciousness. So we need to figure out what to do. That protection thing is so key. You know, I came to Vrindavan, you know, a lot of you all may know, I was diagnosed with cancer, with very aggressive, assertive cancer. And, you know, we're always in that lesson mode. Krishna always gives you the opportunity to say, okay, you heard this, you heard that, now what are you going to do with it? Are you going to kill over? And yeah, no, I say, okay. You know, somehow, Krishna, this cancer is your mercy. And I know it's his mercy. You know why? Because here I am in Vrindavan, being an instrument of my spiritual master before you, humbly begging that we do something about protecting women, children, cows, old people, and brahmanas. And that came about because the cancer, and I came here for treatment, and then I had to say, I can't just come to Vrindavan to take. I have to give to Vrindavan. I have to give. Vrindavan is always giving and healing and everything. But I don't want to just be a taker. So this is my mood. And you all blessed me that I give to Prabhupada's Vrindavan and his society. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing with my time here. But anyway, I think I could stop here and ask, are there any questions or comments? Prabhu? Oh, yeah, let's take the microphone. Hare Krishna.
And then you're speaking about the children.
Yes.
So when we love children, when they grow up, they also love us.
Yes. In general.
We give them a childhood and they grow up, they love us.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sometimes we, you all may know or you may not know, I am the mother of 10 children. Here's my lovely daughter, Ganga Saraswati, 5 boys and 5 girls. And that service was probably one of the hardest services ever, but it was also the best because I had to realize that these were not my children. What could I do? I mean, I was begging Krishna all the time, tell me what to do, what to say, what to, you know, because these are your children, Krishna. I'm just an instrument, you know, and Krishna helped me to raise his own children. And Prabhupada said, these children are gifts from Krishna. And sometimes, you know, when children are being naughty and mischievous, we do not think of them as gifts. But still, Krishna was naughty and mischievous. And so they're being children. And so, yes, if we love children, that's probably the single most strong factor in them growing up to serve God. Because their first guru, their mother, their father, their teacher has shown them what that looks like. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay, I think we're...
So, Srila Prabhupada mentioned about defining a Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said that a Brahman is one who understands God.
Mm-hmm.
And a Vaishnava is one who not only understands God, but serves God.
Ah, very nice point, yes.
And about children, you mentioned they should be loved. Well, Prabhupada didn't... When Mataji was neglecting her child for deity worship, and Prabhupada said, you stop the deity worship and make your child Krishna conscious.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. As the parents do.
Yes. Yes, it is. And all of us have to see ourselves as parents. Any adult in a spiritual community should see themselves as parent for all the children. Because nothing is accidental, like the fact that people end up where they are and who they are. So sometimes people say, oh, it's their karma that they have to be treated there a certain way, but it's also our karma that we came in at that point in their lives to see what would we do about it. What would we do about the intersection of our lives with other people's lives? That's a good question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
That was in September 1972.
Yes.
That's when I joined Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
He played leapfrog with the boys in his room.
See?
Leapfrog is.
He played games with the boys.
So he got on the ground on his hands and knees and he had the boy jump over him like a frog.
See?
The leapfrog. And then Prabhupada jumped over the boy. So he showed them how to be children. He also said they should never be forced to chant or to be, they shouldn't be forced to do anything, but basically encouraged. He said if you show them how to play in a Krishna conscious way, he said that automatically he said they'll be attracted to fun. So he was doing it himself.
Yes. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I know when my children were younger, when they got ready to be chastised, we always had a temple room. We always had a deity room. God can tell you this. If they made it to the deity room, they were safe. If they could get to the deity room, no chastisement, nothing. And, you know, later they would tell me, because that was just the policy. They could do ever so much bad, but run to Krishna, you're safe. So they would be running, and I'd be running after them, you know. They'd make it, and they'd be safe. And so guess what? For the most part, my children feel like when they're in trouble, they should go to Krishna, that Krishna will protect them, because that was their early memory that they're safe. I never pulled them out. I never chastised them once they came out, because I felt like, Krishna, that's your child. They did this. You know how to take care of them. And so they had that good feeling about running to Krishna. Mata. Oh, we need the microphone. Oh, he has it first. Okay, and then Mata. No, you go. Yeah.
Thank you. That was very inspiring, Mataji.
All right, Krishna.
A couple of quick things. You're talking about chastisement. I remember a part in Srimati Siddhanta Thakur's life, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was very young, and when he took that mantle and said, I must chastise you and your father in your own address.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned in your lecture, that was a main question, that we have some mind on this. Can you kind of expound on that a little bit?
That we have some what, Prabhu?
Mayavadism.
Oh, my. Okay. So he's saying that I mentioned that sometimes we act very impersonal in our society. And part of that is because we were impersonal before we came to the society. And a lot of times, you know, in the early days, we were thinking, oh, just because you're a devotee and you're chanting, you're pure. And we failed to understand that it's a process, it takes time for different people, that process is quick or soon. So, you know, the idea of not regarding people as persons, as valuable persons, is something that was from our previous life that we have to get over. Jai Mata.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your electric class, actually. It was really, really powerful. You mentioned about five things that we need to protect when you mentioned about women.
Yes.
I don't know how my question will come out, but could you elaborate a bit more regarding the protection of women? I know you said that if you provide anything, that's protection. But sometimes I've noticed since I joined 94 that men have a very different way of seeing the women in Krishna consciousness than women who are practicing. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, there's lack of respect that comes across, not all the time, but that's quite prominent. And then I'm also hearing recently that there are cases where husbands are beating up their wives, and that's a separate thing, but connected still. But just generally within the family-like society that Prabhupada has created, there's that lack of just respect. I mean, to the extent that they will see some woman going and expression not so pleasant, even of disgust sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
So, I don't know if my question is if you can elaborate a bit more on how
okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Wow. Prabhupada had so much respect for his devotee ladies. I know, because I, unqualified as I was one of those ladies that he had respect for. And he never, ever, ever had any disdain in regards to the ladies. Ever. He always honored women, and especially those that are trying to be God conscious. They should be honored. And I think part of it, Mata, is fear. Because sometimes, you know, lust is such a huge thing, and you know, men may fear that, you know, this lady may provoke lust and this and that. But we have this injunction, Trinadipi Suniche Na Taroipi Sahisni Na Amani Na Manadena Kirtana Sadahari, that we should be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to give all respect to others. So in this way, we will become always in contact with Krishna. So when that lack of respect is there, you're not going to be in contact with Krishna. And I think that we, part of the intelligence, Mata, is figuring how to do this in a way that promotes healthiness in our society. There's a lot of unhealthy behaviors that are going on in our society. And one is that we need to help people understand what is a good, healthy marriage and help people get married and stay married. Prabhupada did it. It's not a bad thing. Grihastha ashram is a step up from brahmachari life with the sanction of your guru. It's not bad. In fact, properly done, you can make kudos of spiritual progress in Grahastha Ashram, because you're going to have to be kind. You're going to have to be tolerant. You're going to have to, you know, serve somebody. And if you do that with a sincere heart, you're going to become purified. So Grahastha Ashram, we fail to really appreciate the value of this ashram. And most of the people in our world are going to get married, so why not help people have healthy Krishna conscious marriage? Prabhupada said we need ideal marriages. And then teach the brahmacharis how to respect the women as mother, not as some, maybe a prostitute. Because that is what you're saying. And that is wrong. That's not what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted honor. He told us to call, he told people, men in particular, to address any woman except your wife as mother. And so people started saying Mataji in such a derogatory way that women didn't even want to hear it anymore, because they didn't understand the position of mother in spiritual culture. In spiritual culture, mother is such a high position. You respect her. You honor her. You carry out her wishes. You keep her from being hurt. Mother. That's the kind of mother that Prabhupada wanted his devotees to look at women like. To honor them. And if you see somebody being a little whatever, tell the appropriate authorities and pray for them. Mother. Mother is a high standard. That's no cheap thing in spiritual culture. Look at the Pandavas. Went to Mother Kunti. Mata, we brought this. Share it. And she thought it was a lady. She's like, oh my God, what did I do? And they said, Mata, you've given your word. Your word is law. We have to carry it out. And so then they found that it was Krishna's arrangement. Krishna wanted Draupadi to have five wives, and their mother had decreed it. So think about when Prabhupada asked you men, I'm asking you all to really pray. What did he mean when he said, think of all women except your wife as mother? How did he want you to treat his followers that are in women's bodies? Remember now, the vultures are waiting for people who do not take care of their duties properly. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. The vultures, Yamaraj, what did Prabhupada say, are waiting for those guardians who neglect to properly respect and honor these five persons. I'm going to stop here. I got to go. But thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hare Krishna.